What's up, my friends? Ooh, we got like a whole row missing. We'll fix it. Hey, so it's good to be back with you. I'm so excited that you guys are here tonight. So as I was preparing for this week, I got to thinking, what's the craziest thing I've ever done to get out of something? I don't know if this was the craziest, but I remember there was one time I was supposed to go to dinner with my parents. It was some form of an obligation. I don't remember what exactly was happening. Maybe there was a grandparent there. I just remember I got a text from my friend saying, hey, let's go play basketball at the park. And I'm like, I'd rather do that than go to dinner. So all of a sudden in the middle of July, I suddenly came down with this really bad cold. Mom, I can't go. I'm sorry. I don't feel good. She's like, okay, don't judge me. I know that some of you have done that. I'm not the first. I know I won't be the last. So they left me at home. They went to dinner. And then I made my miraculous recovery and took off to the park to go play basketball. Where my plan falls apart is I overestimated how long they would be gone. And then what's worse is the park that I was at was actually like right by the road that they had to take to come home. And so I'm sitting there playing, thinking like, oh, I still got plenty of time before they're home. And then all of a sudden they go on driving by and they see me and my plan fell apart. Pro tip, don't lie to your parents. It often backfires on you. I got found out. I wonder what some of you might have done to get out of something. Maybe good, maybe bad. You'll have time in your small groups to reminisce together. But for us today, we're going to be talking about this other guy who did something to get out of something he didn't want to do, Jonah. Last week, Amanda introed this series of Jonah. We're continuing talking about him and the book tonight. And Jonah was somebody who tried to run away from something as well, but instead of dinner with the parents, it was what God was asking him to do. And really, it turns into Jonah running from God himself. So we're going to take the time, and we're going to open up to Jonah chapter 1. If you're in the yellow Bible, it's on page 774. And we're going to read the whole chapter together of chapter 1. As you turn there, I want to give you a little bit of background. Amanda talked about it last week, that Jonah is somebody, what's known as a prophet, somebody who speaks for God to the people. The unique thing about Jonah is it's actually a story. It's the story of his life, or at least a snapshot of his life. And the big thing with Jonah is during that time, the nation of Israel, Jonah's nation, was in danger. There was the big bad empire of Assyria that was threatening to take over Israel. And I say big bad kind of flippantly, but like really, the Assyrians were evil. They crushed and were brutal with people. They oppressed who they conquered. They offered human sacrifices. They were an evil empire. And Jonah knew this. And Jonah also knew that they were going to be coming for Israel real soon. So that's our background information. And we jump in to Jonah 1. Read with me now. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh. Nineveh, by the way, is the capital of Assyria. So we read Nineveh, think Assyria, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship, and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, what do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give us a thought that we may not perish. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you? And he said to them, I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, what is this that you have done? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us? For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. He said to them, pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they called out to the Lord, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as you pleased. So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. So this past week, Amanda challenged us to read Jonah in one sitting. If you haven't done that yet, I encourage you, do it. It's a great way to read scripture. It's a great way to engage in what the Bible's talking about. You get this whole picture of what's happening. It takes 10 minutes. Do it this week. Do it on your way home. She also challenged us to pay attention to what stood out to you as you read what jumps off the page. For me, it's verse 3. Verse 3 says, but Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish. Jonah makes it pretty clear that he wants nothing to do with what God is asking him to do, what God is calling him to do. His feelings for the Ninevites are so strong that he's like, nope, I'm out, I'm taking off, peace out. So quick geography lesson. Joppa is the city down there in the middle. Nineveh, so we got Joppa like here. Nineveh is northeast of it, about 500 miles. Tarshish is all the way, or at least the city that we think is Tarshish, on the opposite side of the Mediterranean. And keep in mind, in this day and age, this would have been seen as like the end of the world. Literally as far as Jonah could go, away from where God was wanting him to go. He is like not only like going away from what God wants, he's like, I'm out. I want nothing to do with this. And really, he was rebelling against God. Rebelling is this interesting word. To rebel against something is to oppose it, to resist it. So this idea that Jonah was rebelling against God, it's this Jonah had in his mind that God was wrong. No, God, you're wrong. This isn't good. This isn't right. I know better than you. I'm going to do what I think is good and right. Jonah didn't like what God was doing. He didn't want God to decide. And really, isn't that at the heart of sin? When we decide that we're not going to trust God to be God, to define what is good and bad, right and wrong. Rather, I'm going to make myself out to be God. I'm going to put myself in that position. Way back in the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis 1, 2, and 3, that's the story there. Humanity goes, no, God, we're not going to listen to you. You said, don't eat that, but I want that, so I'm going to eat the fruit. And we do it in all of our own ways today. No, God, I know I probably shouldn't say that. I know I shouldn't treat somebody like that. I know I shouldn't drink that. I know I shouldn't cheat on that. Or lie about that, or look at that on the internet, or talk about others like that, or lash out in anger like that. I know I shouldn't do those things, but I'm going to decide, actually, I want that. I'm going to decide what is good. But that's not actually the part that stands out to me the most. I mean, that is a crazy thing for Jonah to do, fleeing to Tarshish, the opposite side of the world. That's crazy. But what really stands out to me is this next phrase, from the presence of the Lord. You see, this is really the result of our rebellion. Rebellion leads to rejection. Jonah didn't just flee from what God was calling him to do. He fled from God entirely, away from the presence of the Lord. Man, how many times has my rebellion led to my rejection? When I was at the park with my friends, I saw my parents drive by, and I saw that they saw me, and my heart just hit my stomach. Like, oh, man. And my first reaction was to take off. Like, I can beat them home. I'll say it wasn't me that they saw. Like, I can get out of this. And then the reality hit in. Like, there's no way I'm going to beat them home. And so my second reaction, well, I guess I'm not going home. I can't enter into that. They're going to be so mad at me. They're going to yell at me. I'm going to get grounded. Like, I'm just going to stay here. In fact, if there was a boat sailing for Tarshish, I probably would have jumped on. My lie broke my relationship with my parents. It made me want to stay away from them. Our rebellion leads to rejection. Rejection of God, and we get frozen in the shame. We're afraid. We don't want to face the pain of admitting that we were wrong. We feel like we're unlovable. We feel like there's no way God could forgive me after this. And so we run. Jonah jumps on the boat and takes off for Tarshish. And while he's on the boat, God sends this big storm and to rock that boat. And we're going to talk about next week about the why. Why did God send that storm? But for this week, we're going to keep the focus on that there was a storm that was threatening to break this ship up. And during this storm, Jonah is asleep. Can you imagine that? Like, you're just ignoring that anything is happening, all while the sailors are freaking out. They're tossing things overboard. They're praying to their gods. They're frantic, trying to keep this boat up, trying to survive. They don't know what's happening, and they finally ask Jonah, why? What is happening? Who are you? What have you done? And he explains it, right? I'm a prophet, someone who is supposed to follow God, someone who's supposed to know what God wants and to obey. But he's running from him instead. He's rebelling. And it's crazy to even think in verse 9, he says, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Like, Jonah, do you hear yourself? You're trying to run away from the God who made the sea that you're on. Like, how's that going to work for you, buddy? And then Jonah makes this statement that at first seems noble, but then at second glance, maybe is the most selfish thing he's done so far. Verse 12, he said to them, pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you, for I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they called out to the Lord, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it has pleased you. So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. It seems noble. Like, oh, he's willing to sacrifice himself. Yeah, throw me overboard. That'll solve all the problems. But when we think about it, I would rather die than obey what God is calling me to do. He could have said, yeah, hey, I'm not obeying, I'm rebelling. Let's turn the ship around. Bring me back to land. Instead, my hatred, my unwillingness to listen to God, my rebellion is so strong that I'm willing to let people throw me into the ocean, to the sea, rather than obey, to follow. Rebellion leads to rejection. And last week, Amanda said that the book of Jonah is like a mirror for us today, that we look into it and we see ourselves. That God is using, that's not going to stay. I'm just going to hold it for now. That God is using Jonah's story, Jonah's life, as a way for us to look at our lives. And Jonah 1 is about seeing our rebellion in our lives and seeing how it is affecting our relationship with God. One of the ways that Jonah does this is through something called satire. Satire is a story technique that uses humor or these like big comparisons to make a point. It's a way to point out flaws in people or cultures. It's kind of like a joke, but with a point. It's not like knock knock, but a story that makes you notice something. One of the ways it does that is it uses something called irony. Irony is this idea that something happens that you didn't expect to happen. So you have a fire station that burns down. It's ironic because a fire station full of firefighters, you would think that'd be the last place to catch fire and burn to the ground, and it did. Irony. It draws our attention to the fact of like, whoa, that's crazy that that thing happened. Let's pay attention. Why did that happen? It makes us think deeper about it. And in Jonah, irony is everywhere. In chapter 1, Jonah, who knows God, who's supposed to follow him, does the exact opposite and runs away. And the people that we might least expect to follow God, the sailors who don't know God, are the ones who respond first. That's the irony. Jonah's rebellion shows us what happens when we try to run from God, and while the sailors show us what it looks like to respond to him. Verse 16, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Think about that. We would expect that response from Jonah, but instead the sailors are the one obeying and worshiping God. So where do you find yourself? How, as you look into the mirror, what do you see? Are you running from God? I'm blinding all of you. I'm so sorry. Are you running? Are you responding? Are you rejecting?
This is probably very untraditional for a leader to ask a question, but I just have a thought to throw at you.
Great.
Mm-hmm. I guess I interpreted that as his first step of obeying. To sacrifice himself because that would study the sea and save the other people.
Yeah.
So did I just interpret that totally?
I think it's part of the satire, part of the irony of like, oh, this seems like it would be a good thing. This seems like it's noble. But rather than say, hey, I'm actually fleeing from the Lord, if you just turn me around, drop me off at the nearest port, I'll get going to Nineveh. Like, his reaction is, throw me in. And it's not even like, oh, I'm going to sacrifice myself, like, I'll jump in. It's, you pick me up, throw me in. And so it's putting the action on the others. Jonah is seen as this, like, passive, I'll just wait. It's a good question. You're right. That is unorthodox. And I kind of like it. Might have to rework how we do things here. Well, when I finally went home, and when I finally entered back in, walked in the door, I expected to be yelled at, and I expected to get grounded. And to be clear, I did. I was in trouble. But they didn't yell at me. Really, what my parents wanted more than to ground me, they just wanted a relationship with me. The hardest part about that conversation, has that just been blinding you all day? I'm so sorry. We'll do better at using mirrors in the future. The hardest part about the conversation I had with my parents, we're not mad. We're just hurt that you didn't want to come to dinner with us and that you felt like you had to lie. My rebellion led to rejection, led to a breaking of that relationship. And they just wanted to love me. And really, that's what God wants too. Jonah thought God was out to punish him, but what Jonah didn't understand and what we often forget is that God isn't chasing us to crush us. He's chasing us because he wants us back. It's the truth of our memory verse. I knew that you were a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster. He's a God that's running to a runaway. So as you look in the mirror, are you rebelling? Are you responding? Would you pray with me? God, you love us so incredibly much. You don't want the brokenness in our relationship to stay, and so you chase after us. You don't leave us to by ourselves. You don't let us just take off. You follow. You seek to repair. You seek to redeem. You seek to bring us back so that we can be in relationship with you. Your love is bigger than any of our actions. Your love is bigger than our rebellion. As we head to small groups, would you be present with us? Would you grow our relationships with each other, with our leaders, with you? Would you be present with us as we love each other and we love you more? I ask this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Head to your small groups.